then a trader's report came out. What did it mean and how did the markets react to that information? Good afternoon. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. Jacob Burks joins us now with agmarket.net. So let's start out with that COT report. Kind of what was your takeaway with those numbers?
Well, you know, if you remember, we are catching up, if you will. And so the numbers that we saw on Friday were a report that ended the week of November 18th. We're going to slowly catch up as we go forward. And if you remember the November 18th, if you look at the soybeans, that was the high of the move. And immediately from there, we started coming down. That was, some fundamental news there also. But when you make the high, that was when the funds were the longest. And it was kind of a surprising number, Susan, that they saw the second largest long position that we've seen in the soybeans from the funds that week. So, that was something that we were blind to until Friday. And I think the estimates that were coming out from some of these private groups saying, the funds are buying. We knew that, but we just didn't know how much. And that was something that since that day, the funds have more than likely been liquidating. And we won't find that out till, I believe, Wednesday, how much they have sold off.
Well, you know, that trickle effect with reports and some of the stuff, it's like, well, let's just catch up to where we are now and then do some backfill, because the backfill is not going to really have that big of a market effect at this point.
Yeah, I think if we're going to say let's do something different, let's just not close the government down next time. That'd be better for us.
I agree.
But whenever you look at if they would have came out and just told us where we're at now, would we have known how big it was until they backfill it anyway? So I think the fact that we were even long in the corn. I think most analysts thought we were getting close to being even or maybe a little bit long, but we were long 45,000 to 50,000 contracts. Wheat had a big, huge move up too. So in all of that grain movement up that we saw, from the whole month of November, it was just a little bit more aggressive than what we were all expecting and how much came to, it took that much fund money movement to get us to where we were. And I don't know that really spells out a whole lot of optimism as we go forward.
Did see another buy come from China and then another unknown as well this morning.
Always positive when the world's largest consumer of soybeans is buying from us. We've been promised a lot. There hasn't been a lot of ink on paper as far as what that really looks like. It's almost become a social media joke at times of when that date actually is, if you look through there. The end date of when they're supposed to have this 2025 stuff actually purchased. And so if you look at different ways this can be calculated, and remember, it takes a purchase of over 100,000 metric ton to be a flash sell. So there's a lot of rumors and a lot of thoughts that some of these smaller sales have been stacking up and that China possibly could be at that 50% of their anticipated 12 million metric ton purchase. And so, that's something that we could have had a little bit more than we expect. Anytime you see these purchases, we just need to see between now and the end of the year. It'd really be nice if we saw a big chunk coming in and more of these unknowns moved over to China as well.
Oh, absolutely. Now, looking at the weather from South America, you and I were talking before we started the market wrap-up. They're going to get a deluge of rain coming over the next 6 to 10 days.
Yeah, we have to remember, it's a rainforest area, right? And so in these natural and more normal rains can be pretty heavy at times. I think that they've been dry enough that the planting got done fast, at a fast pace. Even stands from people that I've talked to across the majority of that area, and now you're going to get these good spring rains, if you will, and be upwards of I've seen 6 to 8 inches across a vast majority of Brazil and some of the major growing areas there. I think the mode can go to we need a scare. You don't wish ill will on anybody, but you need a scare in this market. Always looks at, do we stay dry? Does it not get the rains? That seems to be not the case at this point. Now we're looking, hey, are we going to get too much rain? Is it going to become a problem? And usually the problems don't last unless it continues to rain into harvest and then delay some of that safrinha crop. So at this point right now, we can't build anything on weather problems in South America. They've got a record large amount planted. It looks to me like they are built up and on pace to have a another record yield coming out of Brazil anyway.
Well, we saw some decent, as we switch gears over to the livestock, saw some decent cash movement happen last week, but really kind of quiet trade to kick off a Monday.
Yeah, kicking off a Monday. I mean, we saw the market start off in the feeder cattle anyway on the way down. The live cattle have been pretty strong. We had some good cash trade across the majority of the north anyway last week. And I think that, you know, it really, from a, you know, fundamental standpoint, we're still very strong. You had some cold temperatures backing off some sales. Maybe some movement wasn't that good over the weekend. You have some, you know, rate of gains be cut back a little bit. You guys over there are taking some in snow and making it mud out there right now, and that'll weigh a little bit. But just normal winter times, I think that the fundamentals are still very, very strong in this cattle market. The push back up to about that 50% retracement area, I think we're going to need something to push us all the way through, and it's probably going to be more on the demand side that we see the grocery stores not slowing down going into the holiday season. And I think that's probably going to be our best bet to get this over that, just a lot of moving averages, a lot of technical resistance of where we're at this point right now, both live cattle and feeder cattle.
All right. Thanks so much. Jacob Burke's joining us today. He is with AgMarket.net. A quick reminder to everybody that commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. That's the Monday market wrap-up right here on the American Ag Network.